Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Morning, Isaiah 58. And if you're just joining with us, we've been working our way through some teaching about fasting, and we're encouraging everybody in our church family to be fasting this month. And we didn't necessarily give a time frame of that, saying, you know, you have to fast X amount of days or so many times. But I believe it's a good spiritual discipline that we ought to be practicing in our lives to really help us as believers in Christ. And so it's a very good thing to be doing. And you know, as we've been teaching on some of these things about fasting, if you work your way through Scripture, you see a lot of it. The reason why people fasted was a lot of it had to do with mourning over their sin. It could have been mourning over a loss. It could have been mourning over something in particular. But there was a lot of mourning. We only find one instance where we're commanded to fast, and that is on the Day of Atonement. They were told that they were commanded to fast. Now, of course, we're not commanded to fast anymore because Jesus has become our sacrificial lamb, right? Jesus was taken. And he says that there in Hebrews about the fact of him presenting himself as a sacrifice once and for all. But we do find in the New Testament the time that Jesus' disciples were asked by John's disciples. They said, hey, we're fasting. The Pharisees fast. How come your disciples don't fast? And Jesus is like, hey, look, the bridegroom's here with you right now. Right? There's no need to fast at this moment. But when the bridegroom is taken away, then you will fast. And so we see that Jesus expects his disciples to fast. And that's something that I think that we ought to be doing as believers in Christ. And so as we're going to be looking here this morning about fasting, you know, I think this whole idea of fasting, sometimes as we work our way through Scripture, we may see fasting, we may hear fasting, we may have this idea of thinking, well, hey, am I supposed to just do it, jump in? How do I do this? Or sometimes we look at people that are fasting, and we might look at that, and we say, well, though that's kind of like for the really super religious type of people. What should we be doing as believers? How do we do that? And it's interesting that here in Isaiah 58, we actually see this wonderful, almost like a manual that God just kind of walks us through, and he tells us exactly how we are supposed to be fasting. I mean, he gives us specific instructions, and we looked at some of those things, right? Like in the New Testament, like Jesus told us some specific things about fasting, what not to do, right? But you're going to see here just this loving, rich manual about fasting and really a lot of the benefits that come from fasting, and I think this will be hopefully very helpful to you. And one thing I want you to kind of keep in mind as we work our way through the Scriptures here, I want to plant just kind of a little seed in the back of your mind, okay? How many of you ever been, you know, out and thrown rocks before, you know, maybe on a very still pond, you know, and the thing goes in there, the rock goes in the water, and there's this kind of like ripple effect, right, that takes place. And you see this, especially with the teachings of fasting, especially here in Isaiah 58, we see this kind of ripple effect all throughout Scripture. I mean, we pick it up in the New Testament, what in Jesus' teachings, and it even goes further into some of the teachings there in the book of James as well, as you'll pick out some of these things as we'll look at them. And, you know, really, I think these passages, you know, like what Jesus talks about, like Sermon on the Mount and James, those are all real important when it comes to fasting, because it really boils down to one central question. What is the condition of my heart? I mean, Jesus talks about that in the Sermon on the Mount. James talks about that in his writings. And so ultimately, you're left with the question, why fast? And I think, you know, you can find the answer. For me, I look towards Jeremiah 17:9, right? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. So why should we fast? We should fast because our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And fasting is a great tool to be used to help us in some of that and working through a lot of those things in our Christian life. And so what we're going to see today as we go through Isaiah 58, you're going to see the answer to that question. Part of it really is this discipline of fasting and why we should do it and how we should do it and how it guards against our hearts that are deceitful and desperately wicked. And when working through this passage in Isaiah 58, one of the commentaries that I have, Matthew Henry, summed up, I believe, best for the reason why we should fast. He said this: the reason you fast is because it reforms our lives. We undo what is amiss. So fasting reforms our lives, and it undoes what is amiss. And what a beautiful thing that God gave us a passage that really walks us through and to help us understand what fasting is and how it undoes what is amiss. Now, there's 14 verses here in Isaiah 58, and they really pack a punch, as you'll see as we work our way through it. And that's one of the things I love about the Old Testament prophets, right? They don't beat around the bush. Okay, they're going to tell you exactly like how it is, right? And so if you're offended this morning, tough, okay? That's all I can tell you, all right? But hopefully it'll be a help to you. And so here's what I want you to take away with you today. God sets before us a spiritual feast when we fast correctly. God sets before us a spiritual feast when we fast correctly. So let's take a look here. The first thing you have to understand about these first five verses that we're going to look at is that they are really the key to understanding the spiritual feast on fasting. So I want you to notice here our Lord's correction in all of this. Now, if you don't get your head around these first five verses, the rest of it's not going to make any sense to you, all right? So let's dig in. And let's really understand what our Lord teaches us about fasting, because he's going to bring some correction to these individuals here that were fasting in Isaiah 58. And we're going to focus on these because it really sets up what fasting is really about, why it's important for us. So here's the first one. He tells us here in verse 1, he says, "Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins." I mean, cry out. I mean, that should really grab your attention right away, right? Cry out. He's telling Isaiah, he's saying, listen, I want you to grab the people's attention. This is the idea that you need to sit up, scoot your chair in a little bit closer, lean in to what I'm about to tell you, because it's very important. And he says, cry out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. He's saying, don't do this real quietly. Don't just say, okay, guys, you know, I got a little message here for you, just a little ditty. I want to tell you about something. No, he says, this is a very important message that I have to share with you. And he says, I want you to lift it up like a trumpet. The trumpet that they would have had back in those days it's called a shofar. My friend Keith, he got this for me the other day, brought it by my house. But the idea of a shofar, they didn't have, you know, they had this shofar. Now, excuse me if this sounds horrible, okay? But it was the whole thing of, right? He He's saying, listen, lift up your voice. I want you to hear, because what I have to say is very important. Don't just dismiss this. You have to listen, because it's very important about what we are saying about fasting. And he says this. What does he tell him? He says, I want you to declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. What was their transgression? Well, he's going to continue on and tell us. Look what he says in verses 2 and 3. Look at what we're doing, but what are the results? It says here, it says, yet they seek me. This is Isaiah talking, and he's saying, yet they, Israel, they seek me daily. They seek God daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? I'm going to stop there for a second, because look at these questions and look at them in relation to what God says that they are doing. They're saying, we're doing all of this stuff. Look at all this wonderful things that we are doing. And take notice of this list. And let's take them at face value, because is there anything here that you wouldn't want to be said of you as a follower of Jesus? I mean, look at these things that they say that they're doing. He says that they seek God daily. In other words, they have routine Bible reading and prayer. I mean, wouldn't you want that to be said of you, that you seek God daily? I mean, that's a good thing, right? We seek God daily. They say, we're doing these things. We're seeking God daily. He says they delight to know God's ways. Is there any of us that don't want to say, hey, I delight to know God's ways? I want to know his ways. That's what they're saying. That's what they're doing. And it says, we desire God's justice. They ask me for righteous judgments. Here's the people that are appealing to God, and they're saying, we want justice. Is there any of us sitting here today that don't want God's justice? Is there any of us here like that? This is what they want. This is what they're desiring. Now, here's a real gem. We delight to draw near to God. Wow. Who wouldn't want that said of them by God? Then the interesting thing happens, because the people then say, hey, we're doing all this stuff, right? We're doing all these things. And what? He says this, why have we fasted and you see it not? God, look at our resume of everything we're doing. I mean, we're in the Bible. We're seeking you daily. We're asking for righteous judgments. We're doing all this stuff. We're fasting, and guess what? You don't hear us. You're not listening. Really, they're confused. We've been fasting, and it's not working. They say, why have we fasted? You haven't seen. Why have we afflicted our souls, and you don't even take any notice to what we're doing? The key is back a couple little verses before that, because take notice in verse number 2. I think this is very key here. Look what he says. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. As if. You see that? They have all the right forms. They're doing all the right things day by day. They're looking to God. They want to be close to God. They want to see him do justice. They want to see his judgments. And God says, cry out to them aloud, because they're acting as a nation that did righteousness. But they're not. You see, I think this is very, very key for us, even as believers in Christ, that we can have all the right forms, we can do all the right things, say all the right things, act all the right ways, but yet our hearts can be a mile away from God, as if they were a nation that did righteousness. Now, verse 3, here's the people's response to all this spiritual stuff they're doing. Look what he says. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? It's not working. We're fasting. We're afflicting. And God says, let me show you really what's going on. Let me show you the problem of really why all that stuff is not working. So he tells them in the rest of verses 3, 4, and 5. He says this, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? And so the key to their problem here, as if, right, they weren't a nation doing righteousness. They were doing this as a nation who was doing unrighteousness. And God calls them on it. And he says, here is everything that you are doing. And this is not correct. And so the people are saying, hey, we got all these spiritual exercises. We've checked all the spiritual boxes. And God says, well, no, you're doing it as if you were a nation who really are trying to do it righteously. And so here's the reason why God says that your fasting is not working. Number one, he says you fast only to find your own pleasure. Verse number 3, we see that. Why have we fasted and you see it not, right? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. So he says, in your fasting, you are looking for other ways to find pleasure. There's something really wrong going on here. They're restraining themselves some way, but they're turning around and they're finding a different way to enjoy themselves at the same time. God says, well, that's not what I'm asking of you to do. I'm not asking for you to do the right form and still find a way to have pleasure on the side. That's not what this is about. Secondly, we see when you fast, you oppress your workers. Again, in verse number 3, he says, and oppress all your workers. They are mistreating their workers. We also see, thirdly, when you fast, you become hangry. Right? They're fasting and they're getting angry. He says that when you fast, you quarrel, you fight, you hit with your wicked fist. And you can see this if you don't eat right. You go a few days without eating. The tendency, I think, most people is when we do that, we kind of get very hard to live with, right? We become quarrelsome. He says, this is what you're doing. He says, you strife, you have debate, you fast for strife and debate, you strike with the wicked fist. Things are not going right, they're going wrong. Again, the outward appearance looks so great, but God's saying, wait a minute, look what's really going on behind the scenes. What is going on in the heart, right? That's the true revealer of what we are doing and how we are doing it. He says, I'm really happy that you guys think that you have the right form, but look what's going on behind the scenes. You're actually fighting, you're struggling, you're causing strife, you're enjoying yourselves. Take a look again at the latter part of verse number 4 here, because I think that the sarcastic side of Isaiah is coming out, right, as he's telling them these things. Look at verse number 4 here. He says, fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. What was their complaint up in verse number 3? He says, why we fasted, you see it not, right? And he says, yeah, you're right. You're not going to fast this way and have me listen to what you're saying and asking. I'm not going to listen to it. You're absolutely correct. It's not working. And I'm telling you that. Your complaint's valid. He says also in verse number 5, look what he says, is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? And this is where you can see Isaiah through the Holy Spirit almost getting sarcastic with them, right? I mean, look at the form. They're bowing their head, right? They're humbling themselves. It really, remember what we looked at last week about Jesus with the Pharisees? What did they do? Boy, they put on the old clothes. They walked around very gloomy. They put ashes, dumped ashes on their face and had all that stuff all over their face, right? And they're bowing themselves. They look at our forms. Look what we're doing, right? He says, no, this is not really what I'm looking for you to bow down, to put sackcloth and ashes. I mean, is this really what a fast is all about? He says, are you going to call this a fast, a day that's acceptable to me? And it's not. And so the thing that we have to remember is that the Lord is looking on our hearts. Remember our teaching, what Jesus said? He says, get up. Wash your face, put a smile on, right? Look like nothing is wrong, right? And you go through your life, because then you'll have a true reward. These guys were all looking for external rewards, right? What we look like on the external, how we act. He says, no, that's not what is key here. It's the same sin going on here. He said, this is not what I'm asking for. I'm not asking you to bow your head. I'm asking for you to have the right heart. And I think that's where we have to take a step back and look at this and say, well, you know, okay, if this is the way Israel did their fasting, where they checked all these spiritual boxes, right? They had all the right forms. The same things can happen to me, especially when I think about fasting and what I'm doing. I think there's a tendency for us to sometimes look at Scripture, especially when we're reading through it, and we see the sins and the faults of these people doing things, and we're going, ah, silly Israel. I mean, really, what's wrong with you guys? I mean, what a bunch of maroons, right? I mean, you guys had all the information. I mean, why didn't you just do it? No, it's not silly Israel, it's silly me, right? Because all of us have the same tendency to do the exact same things, and we do the exact same things as well. And so, really, Scripture is a mirror, right? It shows us exactly for really what we really are. And it tells us, I mean, Hebrews tells us that these things were written for us as examples, right? To teach us, to show us, don't go this way, don't go in this direction. And so it's important to heed those teachings. And if you think about earlier, right, Isaiah talks about in chapter 29 and verse 13, he tells them about this whole thing about there with Israel. And he says that they say the right things, right? He tells them, these people, they draw near to me with their lips, with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We say the right things. Our lips are saying the right things. We have all the right things going on, but he says their hearts were far removed from them. Again, I go back to Jeremiah, right? What about the heart, right? The heart is the issue. That's the issue that our Lord's trying to get a hold of. And so it's important for us when we think about these things that our Lord's correction is there to help us understand, right? Don't be like this. Don't act like this. Don't use fasting in this way, because it's about the heart, right? It's not about these external things. It's about the heart, okay? So let's move on here now to the second thing, our Lord's instruction. So this is what's awesome about our Lord, right? He doesn't just point out the things that are amiss. He doesn't just point out where we've missed the mark. He says, all right, now I'm going to instruct you the correct way of what a correct fast actually looks like. And so he says, I'm going to tell you what type of fast he desires. And now, working through this section, you're going to see a list emerge, okay? Now, I really enjoy what our fellow elder Jeff always has to say about lists, right? He says, you know, don't make our Christian life like these series of check boxes, right? Check, 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 check. Okay, I got it all done. Check, 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 check. Oh, God's pleased with me. Look, check, 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 check. Right? No, we gotta guard ourselves from that. But you're gonna see this list, and there's lots of lists that you see in Scripture, but it's not about a list, right? It's about our heart attitude towards God. Okay, and if we get the heart right, those other things are going to fall right in place, okay? Remember, they had all the checks, right? They had all the list. Check, 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 check. I'm seeking God daily. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing that. But he says, no, you're not fasting correctly. And so this list is going to emerge that we're going to see this, all right? So there's list here. There's about 13 things, okay? Now, I'm not going to have 13 points, okay? But so what I've done here with this list here, I've kind of summed them up into four main things that I believe kind of cover what Isaiah's talking about, right? Hopefully these four things will be helpful to you as we work through them, okay? So here's the first one, lift burdens. When you fast correctly, you will lift burdens. Look at verse number 6. Look what he says here. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Then if you jump down to verse number 9, we see a lot of the same, this lifting of the burdens. He says, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, right? This lifting of burdens. And so when we fast and we fast correctly, we will lift burdens. The idea here is freeing the yokes going away, right? When you think about a burden, you think about like that ox, right? Our Lord talked about that, the yoke of the oxen, right? And it's this thing that these two ox, they plow together. They have this thing, and they're bearing the burden. They're carrying this thing so that way they can plow. And our Lord here tells us, he says, when we fast correctly, we will begin to lift burdens. Lift burdens. Who? In our lives? In the lives of others. And so when we fast and we fast correctly, we will lift burdens in other people's lives. It's interesting, this idea about this lifting of burdens. If you read through Jeremiah, there's an interesting passage in Jeremiah chapter 34, and you see that the people weren't doing this. In fact, God had a law saying that if you had people indebted to you, that on the seventh year, you were supposed to let them go free. You were supposed to cancel all their debt, right? So you find in this passage in Jeremiah chapter 34 that here they are, they have these people, and God says, hey, you need to let these people go. And they're like, yeah, you know, we do need to let the people go. And so they let them go. And then all of a sudden, they're looking around, they're going, hey, we lost all of our workforce. And I'm not kidding you, the very next verse, they go and get all the people back and they put them back in bondage. That's not lifting burdens, right? And God's accusing them. He's calling them out on this and he's saying, you're not doing what you are supposed to be doing. He says, a true fast, you will lift burdens. And God calls them on it. And so when I think of lifting burdens, it reminds me of Jesus, right? He talked about those yokes. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And as believers, when we fast, one of the things you should be driven to do is to lift burdens in other people's lives that you come in contact with. God's saying if you fast, and when you fast correctly, what will happen in your heart is your heart will go out to others who are burdensome, who are under heavy burdens. And he says you'll see that, and you'll decide to help lift those burdens, and you'll be using those opportunities. And we lift burdens how? We lift burdens through the power of the gospel. We lift burdens by sharing God's good news, right? The good news of Christ. And the gospel is not just necessarily for salvation, right? The gospel is for every area of our life, whether we're saved or we're not saved, right? The gospel has power to transform us. And so we lift burdens, we share the good news of Christ. And so when we fast correctly, we'll be driven to lift burdens. Here's the second one. We will take care of the hungry and needy. Look at verses 7. He says, verse 7. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? And so follow the thought here. You're helping somebody spiritually. You're lifting their burden, but they have physical needs as well. In fact, James actually kind of talks about this, right? The whole thing, if you see your brother that has need, and you just go over there and you, well, God bless you, my brother. Have a good day, right? He says, no, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be actually helping the physical needs of people as well. And this is what's awesome about fasting, because he says about the hungry, right? He says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Well, guess what? Here you are fasting. What now do you all of a sudden have a surplus of? Bread. And you can give it out. You can give it to others that are in need, right? I believe as people, as individuals, we are so focused on ourselves, what we have, what we need. I mean, just think about it. As an average American, how many things do you think that you need in your life in order to survive? Right? How many times do we order things, buy things? I gotta have this. I gotta get this. I need this. I need that. Do we actually need those things? Or are they just a surplus? Right? Lord says when we actually do a true fast, we will actually have an abundance to actually give and share with others. And so their greatest need when we see people, it is that spiritual need to lift their burden, but all they may see is the physical needs. And this is a sense where we have to stop and say, I've got to care for these people in a way that helps that burden be lifted and the gospel to be heard. And I believe this also contrasts in verse number 3 earlier, because what is the one thing that he says about him, right? He says, while you're there, you will find your own pleasures. He says, the only reason why you're fasting is to find your own pleasures. He says, you're not looking out at the needs of others. He says, you're just looking for your own pleasure. And so this is a very good thing to remind ourselves about. So you're fasting, you're finding your own pleasures, and you're not actually taking the time to help and take care of the hungry and the needy, you know. I think the key also to this is you get down to verse number 10 in Isaiah 58, because look what he says here. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted soul. There's a part of us, I think, that we just think of the physical needs and think that's how we take care of the hungry and needy. And I believe the church has done a huge, huge sin in allowing the government to take care of the needs of people. Because guess what? The government cannot minister to the afflicted soul. The church can. In fact, if you find in the early church, you know what the early church did? They took care of widows. They took care of orphans. They provided for their needs. But now, what have we done? We've allowed the government to just say, hey, we'll allow you to take care of their physical needs. Right? And we just say, okay, we've got that government program. We've got that government program. We've got that thing. Right? You just take care of them. And so if we're going to do a true fast, we're actually going to start looking at the needs of others. And we're going to take notice of that. We're going to minister to their afflicted soul. So you're going to reach out. You're going to reach out to people. And this fast will drive you to do that. When someone doesn't have clothes, you're not just going to send them down somewhere to find clothes. You're actually going to take them under your wing and minister to them. And by doing that, you're actually taking and wrapping really your soul around them, and you're ministering to their afflicted soul. And really, there's real worship ministry in all of that. Here's the third one. You're going to lose the contempt in your heart. Look at verse number 9. He says, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Now, there's an intriguing little verse here where it says, if you take away the yoke from your midst and the pointing of your finger and speaking wickedness here. Because if you compare this with verse number 4, we find here, it says, behold, you fast only to what? Quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. So he's comparing these two. And he's saying, when you actually do a real fast, it will wash away the contempt that you have in your heart. It's kind of interesting in some of the commentaries that I looked at in some of these things. Several of the guys mentioned this pointing of the finger is actually a crude gesture. The thing I like about prophets here is they're not going to beat around the bush, right? They're going to tell it exactly like how it is, this pointing of the finger. He says, take away the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. And when you do a true fast, you will wash away the contempt that is in your heart. How many times have you been driving down the road and somebody cuts you off or does something, and the first thing that you do, you might react with a gesture from your hand, or you might say something out of your mouth, right? That's contempt. That's what this is. In fact, this is nothing new. I mean, this stuff goes all the way back to the Greeks and the Romans with this whole using hands as a gesture in a way to show your contempt for somebody, okay? And in fact, again, this picks up in James, because one of the things that James says is he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, right? This all goes together. And so when we fast, it will actually wash away the contempt that is in our hearts. If you look in your Bibles, if you have a study Bible, maybe some of the side notes, some of you will actually have it where it says the sending out of the finger. Right? So he's saying, look, put away the contempt. Now some of you might be saying, now Mike, look, I was raised better than that. I'm not going to do that kind of stuff. Right? I'm not going to use my hands in that type of way. But how about this one? Somebody tells us something that we don't like. What is that? That's contempt. That is contempt. That is telling you, I don't care what you have to say. I don't care what you're going to tell me because I know better than you. I could care less. That's contempt. And so our Lord tells us here that when we actually do a fast, it's going to wash away the contempt in our hearts. Not only that, but then he says speaking wickedness, right, with our tongues, using our tongues for evil. Using our tongues to curse and not to bless. Using our tongues to slander and gossip. That's contempt. I found that gestures and language always go hand in hand, right? We're going to show them what we think with our hands, and we're going to tell them what we think with our tongue. And remember that ripple effect, right? James tells us to cleanse our hands. He also tells us to control our tongue. He says if we don't, our religion is in vain. So it's very important that we wash away the contempt. And so a fast will keep you from doing these things. Here's the next one. You will care for the afflicted. Look again at verse number 10. And we already touched on this a little bit, but if you go to verse 10 here, it says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then he goes into a list of the things that are good. Okay, now it struck me here, when you think about fasting, why fasting is important, when you think about this afflicted people and really that we should be able to help them out, okay, notice what he says here about this. He says, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted. He is talking about justice here. Now, who knows better what true justice is than for us who know Jesus as our Savior? Right? Jesus took upon himself our sin that we rightly have. He took upon our sin and he was judged for our sin. And so we know what true justice is. We know what true justice looks like. The fact that God judged his son for our sin. And he says, when you do a true fast, you will actually care for the afflicted. Notice what he says here, because I think this compares in verses 2 and 3. He says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. Why have we fasted? You see it not. Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. And so he says, you're not doing this fast correctly, right? You're pushing everyone. You're fighting. You're striking with the fist. You're only seeking your own pleasure. And if you know Christ when you fast, we should be reaching out to the afflicted because we know what true justice is. And we're looking for the afflicted. We're looking to lift the burdens. We're looking to help. And that's really what a true fast does in all of that. There's an interesting parallel here in verses 5 and verses 10 in all of this because take what he says here. Is such this the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? And look at verse number 10. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted. The New King James is actually the one that I think actually gets this correctly in their translation in this. Because it says this in the New King James, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, in verse 10, verse 5, is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? See, the idea that they're playing against each other. So he says, is this the kind of fast that I want where you're just going to afflict your own soul? No, I want you to have the type of fast that you're looking out for people that you can pour yourself into that have an affliction, have an afflicted soul. That's the kind of fast that I desire and that I want. And so how are we helping the afflicted souls around us right now? What do we do when someone walks in and looks at you and says, I'm having trouble drinking? I have a lying problem. My marriage is in shambles. Do we just pat them on the head and say, well, brother, I'll pray for you? God desires so much more than that. If we are actually fasting and fasting correctly, we will desire to pour ourselves into them, to actually provide for them and help them, walk with them through all of that mess. That's the idea that the Lord is trying to get across to them. And he's saying, you're doing all these things, check, 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 but you're not actually doing a real fast. He says, you're missing the boat entirely in all of this. Let's look at the last thing here. Our Lord's blessing of a spiritual feast, okay? Because he says, if you actually do these things, right? If you actually pour yourself into people and you do the spiritual fast like I'm asking you to do, there's a blessing of a spiritual feast that our Lord is going to give us. Here's the first thing. Number one, your light is going to shine. Look at verses number 8 and verse number 10. He says, then shall your light break forth like the dawn. Verse 10, he says, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And so the very first thing is that your light is going to shine. Light is a very powerful thing. Could it be any wonder that God tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that we are children of God that shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? I'm reminded of Colossians. We learn about the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. For those who know Christ, it says that we've been called out of that kingdom of darkness and called into the kingdom of light, right? There's a promise about your light shining. What does light do? It shines in dark places. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 20, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. How does all of this happen? When you fast correctly, you will be the light. And you know what that means? It means that you will expose the wickedness around you. So again, put all of this together. Here you are, you're fasting, and the people that you're coming in contact with, you're exposing the wickedness that's in their life. You're exposing the heavy burdens that are in their life. And he says, then you're called to lift those burdens. And that's what a true fast will actually do. And so you start thinking about, how can I do that? You'll be like the light. Verse 10, it says, and you will shine in the darkness and be like the noonday. Just think of how that can help you lift burdens. Can you think of a better promise than that? That your light will shine like the noonday? I mean, that's amazing. And our Lord calls us to do that. Here's the second thing. You will be healed and restored. If you look again at verse 8, it says, and your healing will spring forth speedily. If you drop down to verse number 11, he says, I will strengthen your bones. This idea of healing is all throughout Isaiah, right? Like when we think about Isaiah 53, right? It's not the same word that you find in Isaiah 53, so I'm not going to try to spiritualize that text there. But the idea there is the fact that there is healing from the Lord. We get healing from the Lord. And healing is an important thing. We've been healed spiritually. And he says, when you fast correctly, your healing will come quickly. It'll come. It'll happen. David wrote about this in Psalm 32. He said, when he's full of sin, sin crushed his bones. What does he say? He says he found healing from the Lord, right? And when you fast correctly, one of the things it'll do is it'll actually strengthen your bones. It'll make you stronger. What a great promise that is from our Lord, from all of that. And so he says, I'm going to make you shine like the noonday. I'm going to heal and make your bones stronger. Thirdly, he says, you will be surrounded by God. Now, this is probably my favorite one, because a true fast has you surrounded by God. Do you have a favorite cozy chair or blanket at home? I mean, it's the one that you just plop in and, you know, everybody knows, hey, when mom, dad, whoever's sitting in there, right, like, that's their chair, right? That's where you go to doze off, take a nap. That's where you go to sit back, relax. I mean, that's the place, whatever it is, right? This is the idea here. He says, I'm going to surround you. Right? So when there's a true fast, he says, I'm going to surround you. Look at verse number 8. He says, your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. So the glory of the Lord's before you, right? It's behind you, right? You're surrounded. You're being taken care of. Do you remember verse 3, their complaint? What was their complaint? They said, you haven't noticed us. We're calling out to you. You don't notice this. And what did he say? He says here, verse 8, he says, I will hear you when you actually fast correctly. And that promise should give you a great deal of confidence. And one of the promises of true fasting is that when you call out, you will hear a voice whisper to you, here I am. Here's the last one. You will find satisfaction. Now, verses 11 and 12 give us this idea of being satisfied, right? This is the spiritual feast that our Lord lays before us. Because when we talk about satisfaction, is that really not what a fast is about ultimately? Because remember back in the beginning of the passage, they lay out their whole case. It's all about their own satisfaction. They're looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. He tells them, when you do a real fast, you're going to get true satisfaction. Look at verse number 11. He says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places. Other translations read desert places or places that have no, that there's no, that's a drought, right? So he says, I'm going to lead you and I'm going to satisfy you in those scorched places. Is there any better picture than the idea of a scorched land that's full of drought? I grew up in New Mexico, and every year they'd have a drought, right? Like, it only rains maybe few weeks out of the whole entire year, right? We have what's called the El Nino, right? Or the time when all the rain comes at that one time, and that's it. That's what you get. It's scorched. It's dry, and you see those areas where the land is cracked and it's dried up. Then the rain comes, right? There's this relief, right, of the rain. And so I love this imagery here because he says you're going to have this satisfaction. Verse 12, if you look down a little bit, he says, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And so he says, I'm going to turn you into a watered garden. Think about a watered garden. When you fast correctly, one of the benefits is your life turns into this watered garden. Okay? Now, so here's the illustration here. Okay? So let's just say you're fasting correctly. You're seeking the Lord. You're fasting. He says you're there to lift burdens, right? You're there to do that. You're there to take care of the afflicted. You're there to take care of the needy. You're going to do that. And so you're fasting, you're seeking the Lord, and he says, I'm going to set before you this spiritual feast. I'm going to provide everything that you need to actually minister correctly to those that are around you. And so what our Lord does is, you know, we meet somebody that possibly their marriage is in shambles, right? We meet somebody else who, let's just say, they're having difficulty in their spiritual life. Maybe they're a Christian, and maybe they're struggling. Maybe they struggle with depression. Maybe they struggle with maybe some sort of drug abuse. I don't know, right? Their lives are hard and difficult. Maybe there's a person who just struggles with pride, right? These are individuals that we meet that our Lord brings into our life, and he says, I want you to fast because I'm going to give you everything that you need, and he says, I'm going to water your life so that way you can pour into other people's lives and lift the burdens and provide for what they need. And so here's, if you can, a little bit, our Lord gives us everything and he just waters our life. And so here we are and here we meet these individuals, and it's not just a, well, brother, hope you have a great week this week. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I'll pray for you. Right? Or we meet the other one and say, well, you know what? It looks like they're struggling, so I'm going to take them out to lunch just for a little bit. Right? I'll pray for you. Or, hey, you know what? I know you're having a hard time. Why don't you just come over to our house for maybe an evening and, you know, we'll talk just a little bit. Right? No. What our Lord wants us to do is he says, I want you to pour your life and give everything that you need. Right? That's what our Lord wants to do. He wants us to fast and fast correctly, that we could just continually just pour our lives into others. That's what our Lord wants. Don't worry, we're going to replace the carpet, okay? But that's what our Lord wants us to do. So are we fasting correctly? Are we fasting for the right reasons? Or is our fast only for us? Is it for others? Right? Is it so that way we can actually pour our lives into others and lift burdens? Is it there so we can actually minister the way that God desires for us to minister? That's what our Lord wants from us. And so I pray that us as believers will take these things to heart and actually fast for the right purpose so that way we can minister to others the right type of way. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.